start our policy and strategy committee meeting, and we'd like to welcome Dr. Peter Bush. He is the Old Growth Forest Coordinator for the Nova Scotia Department of Natural Resources and Renewables. I'd like to welcome you here this morning. Since we invited you here, I thought it would be a good idea for us to go around and just introduce ourselves and what district we're from. We'll start with Councillor Haysom.
Hi, I'm Councillor Letha Haysom, and I represent District 1. And if you want to, there's a button on the side, and you can lift that whole podium up a little bit if you'd like.
Councillor Bell, District 2, which is the west side of the Lehave River.
Councillor Hubley, District 1. 4.
Sorry. Councillor Kathy Moore, District 5.
I'm Deputy Mayor Moore, District 3. We're all got it. It's catching. Deputy Mayor Oikel. Thank
you. Carolyn Bolivar Getson, I'm the mayor for the municipality.
Are you sure?
Oh, I am sure.
Councillor Casey DeLong, District 8, that's all the communities surrounding Mahone Bay.
Reed Wine at District 9 on the good side of the river.
I'm Chastity Vino, Councillor District 10. I represent all the communities surrounding town of Lunenburg, and I also have Big and Little Tancook Islands.
I'm Councillor Greek. I represent District 7, which Kathy and I cover the northern part of the municipality. And I'm just home with an ill son today.
So we'll turn the time over to you, Dr. Bush.
Your positions. My father was a town councillor in a town in Ontario called Flamborough, just outside of Hamilton. Spent about two terms as a councillor, so I appreciate your work. So I'm going to talk about Old Growth Forest policy. Screens coming through both online and here, and this was sent in advance. So how do we get here? How do we get to develop a new old growth policy? Well, the department has been working on old growth for a number of years. This is not a new thing for us. We had an interim policy in 1999, and look at that, in 2012, who says government works slow? It took us 13 years to take that interim policy and move it into an old forest policy. There was public discourse about concern of a harvest around Loon Lake or Lawler Lake. That led to pushing the department to move faster. There was a review of forestry practices that happened as a result of campaign commitment. And that was led by Professor Leahy from Dalhousie University or King's College. And government fully endorsed those recommendations for that review of forestry practices, which included recommendation 17 saying develop and improve your old growth forest policy. As a result of that, we had extensive public consultation from 2021 to 2022. So we developed what we sometimes I call the new old growth forest policy. There's some language in here that we talk about old growth and we talk about old forests, and I'm going to try to distinguish those terms. There was a very concerted effort to change the policy name to old growth forest policy to really identify what part of those definitions we're focusing on. We're focusing on the rare, the old growth by proper definition. So a key highlight of this policy, people ask me, what's the target of the old growth policy? It's written right in that first line, to conserve all. What's that as a percentage? 100%. All old growth on crown land. So if it meets the definition of old growth, our policy covers it, whether it's known or unknown, right? And so It's a very strong policy. We had a professor from Dalhousie University, Dr. Peter Dunker, who did a jurisdictional review and made comments that this was one of the strongest policies in Canada in terms of Crown land. So it conserves all old growth forests on Crown land. The policy, some other highlights from that, from our policy, our current policy released in August of 2022, was it had a new definition for what we call old growth. It's more ecologically based. It wasn't just one number across all different forest types, and it targets late successional forest groups. It has stronger language about any possible removal from that policy protection, and I can get into that a bit more. And it has stronger language to support private land conservation. Private land conservation, our province is still committed to the same approach that we've used for a number of years, is working with landowners to do conservation, not mandating it on private land. And so the policy supports that continued approach to conservation on private land. So I mentioned that there's a different way or how we define old growth forest areas. One of the people on the review for forestry practices was from Maine, and he used the term to try to define old growth forests as, in some publications he had, it's relatively old and relatively undisturbed. So when people ask me, what's old growth forest? It's relatively old and it's relatively undisturbed. And then this is where, you know, different jurisdictions or sometimes people say, well, what is relatively old and what is relatively undisturbed? Because we're in charge with managing our forests across Nova Scotia, just relatively old and relatively undisturbed wasn't enough. We needed a little more sort of details for operational foresters or approvals for roads, things like that, to have some guidance. So we based our definition on the age when an old growth forest starts to have the onset of attributes. If we think I can relate this to people, when do we start getting old? When does our bones start sort of feeling sore? Things like that, right? Right, my hair is gray now, things like that. So, you know, I'm old, am I old growth? I don't know. But we use some characteristics to try to define what that is. We use literature and expert opinion within here to help identify that. So the range for old growth forests in Nova Scotia goes from 100 years up until 140. So intuitively, you can think about it, some forests will get older sooner than other types of forests. So some of the ones that get older sooner are our coastal forests, which applies to this municipality, right? And some of the ones that take longer to have those onset of old growth forest characteristics are things like our tolerant hardwood forests, our sugar maple forests, and our hemlock forests. So they take a bit long. So it depends on the forest type, but it's either between 100 and 140 depending on the type. And there's a table there. We also define that an old growth forest area must be at least 1 hectare in size. That's 100 meters by 100 meters as a square. Okay? So it's relatively small, but it's not 2 or 3 trees. Okay? And then that age is based on the 20th percentile of, or the top 20, or 80th percentile, depends how you look at percentages, of the basal area. So it's not the biggest trees, but it's near the top. Okay? So you could say that an agriculture field could have one tree on it. You don't want to call that old growth because that one tree is 150 years old. You want to have at least a number of trees, but you want to be the top and not the biggest tree. Okay? So our science and our review sort of identified that, and that was supported through the literature. So there's a table there. It's a bunch of different forest types. In the end, there's a range for those ages going from 100 to 140. Okay? The policy identifies 2 types of forest areas. Ones that meet that definition of being 125 or 140, and then it's automatically protected under the policy. And we also set aside other areas that are nearing that age. Maybe it was 105 years old, or maybe it was 95 years old, and it was under the previous policy. We're moving those under restoration. So those are protected as well. It's just a slightly different level of protection. Okay, still covered by the policy, and we have more of those areas than we do of the, quote, true old growth. Working with private land. The policy commits government, and sometimes people ask me, well, what does this really mean? It gives me permission as the old growth coordinator to spend a portion of my time working on private lands. It's just not about nice words. It helps support staff to do good work when policies and directions are given by government to make change. So it commits to working with organizations to develop some mechanisms for protection of old growth forests. We work with certification systems, right? You know, you get your visa bill and on the back there's that FSC, right? That's a certification saying that the wood is coming from a certified forest. So we work with those standards. One of the interesting things about the Loon Lake issue was that that was in Guysborough County. Port Hawkesbury Paper was the licensee. FSC, they have FSC certification. They were very concerned about that company's actions and what the government was also doing, working with the company to improve old growth conservation. So there's a role to play in that market-based system as well. And so we'll work with that. There's also a chance to work with landowners to help recognize old growth forests so that they know and understand and get some educational materials. And also sharing of data is important working with private land. So some other just general information. Well, how big is the old growth forest policy? Well, there's approximately, this is across all of Nova Scotia. It's as a percentage, it's about 0.5% of Nova Scotia, approximately, maybe a bit more. There's about 25,000 of old forest restoration and about 4,000 of known old growth. So it's a relatively small amount, but that 4,000 really has just happened in the last 5 years as the policy has come into place and there's been more effort and concern related to that. That 25,000 hectares was from the previous policy, and we've really just started to look, really since my time sort of as an old growth coordinator, trying to find more stuff on the ground. So all that 4,000 is verified to meet one of those ages. Okay? And interestingly enough, just outside of your municipality, a little east, as part of this research for the old forest policy, a couple of students from Dell, Megan and Daphne there, standing beside the oldest tree in Nova Scotia. We found that tree, trying to figure out that 20th percentile, whether it's supposed to be at 20 or 30. And Megan, the one right closest to the tree, she did the 30th percentile, and I took the larger tree, which is slightly bigger. Hers turned out to be 500 years old, 532 years old. It's our oldest tree in the Maritimes by about 60 years almost. Yeah, and it wasn't the biggest tree in the stand. There's a link there if you want to watch the CBC article. Jean LaRoche did that. He does a lot of political ones, and he did this one. It was really good and well done, and I appreciated that, and it's got a lot of support. So,
Dr. Bush,
yes,
would you be all right for a question, or yeah, would you sure, prefer to be at the end?
Throughout, or yeah, okay. At the end, yeah.
So, Councillor DeLong does have a question.
Sure.
Hi, I'm just wondering if you've ever visited the 500-year-old maple at Aussie Dulisk in our neighborhood here.
I have. It's gorgeous, I've seen that isn't it? Mother tree for sure.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it is beautiful. Yeah, and so it's interesting, right? So that tree is much bigger than this tree. It grew up in probably an old field. You could tell that there was some clearing around there. And sometimes it's hard to age those very old trees. I think some Dow students cored some of the core, but not all of the core to get to the center. It can be challenging, but yeah, it's no doubt it's 500 years old and it's a beautiful tree. And it's also about old growth is more than just about the biodiversity science related to it. It's also about the culture and social values. So Yeah, I have. I met with them in part to, they were concerned about their hemlocks and hemlock woolly adelgid, right? So it's an invasive species that's potentially hurting some of our hemlock trees, yeah. So some of these old-growth forest areas also have biodiversity co-benefits, we call them, meaning that we protect them not just for the trees, but for the species that are utilizing those trees. So I had some staff put together some numbers, and in terms of where we are in the province, and I utilized, I think the subscripts may not clearly identify where these numbers came from, but there's been some concern that we were reporting only our numbers, the department numbers, and so these numbers are coming from this journal article just released from BC, some remote sensors, some Canadian Forest Service people, sorry, UBC, and they break down in my partnership with St. Mary's University, so they took their data and then targeted it towards Nova Scotia. And they came up with sort of these numbers. The ones to focus on there is the 23 and the 3. So as we get older in estimating forest age, the error bar sort of increases. Our ability to say exactly how old the tree is hard from looking up top, right? We can tell how tall it is. And they use some ground-based things to sort of verify things. But, you know, we're in the over 20% range of forests over 80 years old across Nova Scotia, which I was sort of pleased to see this independent-looking study finding about that, because I had reported from our forest inventory, which is our air photo and interpretation. We fly planes every 10 years to help with our forest management. We were in that about 20% range across the province. So using the photo inventory, there's been some criticism, well, it's not very good, and it's the department's own data. But this is some independent data to support. You know, there's young forests in Nova Scotia. There's been a lot of forest management on Crown land and private land over the last 50, 60 years. And you can see that reflected in about half the forest is under 80 years old across Nova Scotia. That's a fair representation in our numbers, sort of support similar numbers. But there, to say that there's no old forest in Nova Scotia or 1%, is probably extremely underestimating the amount of 80-year-old forest that there is here. So I also came up with some, my staff helped me come up with some numbers related to specifically your municipality. Keep in mind that we don't normally manage based on municipality districts. We manage across the province, and we use ecological boundaries to sort of do our balance. But having said that, these are the numbers. They are what they are. There's no sense in hiding from them. There's only about 800 or 791 hectares under the old forest policy in the municipality. That represents about 4% of Crown land in the municipality, but only about 0.4% of the municipality. Your municipality approximately is about 10 or so percent Crown land. It's a low percentage compared to other sort of districts, municipalities. The amount of protected area in the municipality from an amount seems low, right, 3,000 hectares, but it's a relatively high proportion of the Crown land. It's in the range of the targets we're trying to get across the province. We're trying to get 20%. It's at about 17%. And again, those are always changing. There's been some new additions in the last month or two. And so that wouldn't include anything that just happened in the last month, although I don't know if there's anything in your municipality at that time. But from a total municipality perspective, it is only 1.8. And so sometimes these numbers get confusing. People use percentages in different ways. Our protected areas target is based on the whole province, not on Crown land. I see a question, so yeah, go ahead.
Councillor Haysom.
Thank you. Just to yep. be clear, the protected area 17%, does that include the 4% of the old growth forest policy?
No, those would be separate.
Those are separate numbers. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
So the old growth forest policy, if you read the policy in detail, we do account for things in protected areas because it would be silly not to include the conservation efforts sort of in there, but the policy doesn't apply to protected areas. They have their own legislation, Provincial Parks Act, Wilderness Area Protection Act, and Special Places Act for Nature Reserves. So for this, I've separated them. So that's Crown land that is protected by the policy. And as of right now, the old growth forest policy, we're in sort of discussions and negotiations with the federal government on whether or not they will count towards 20%. Right now they don't, because it's not legally designated. But there is some appetite for some policy conservation areas to count. The numbers that I have there for late mature, that's 80 years old and over in mature forest, I was surprised were actually so high for the municipality. And, you know, in the range of, you know, 50% the proportion of the crown and about 40% in total. And that's based on the forest inventory, not on that UBC study. St. Mary's wasn't able to break it down to municipalities for me in the short turnaround. But that's the with the UBC study, we can see that our inventory is close. So I wouldn't necessarily worry about the greater than 120 because, our ability to sort of predict that, I'd put them together. I guess the message is there's a fair amount of mature forest in the municipality on private land and crown land. So those are across both, right? Again, we don't manage on private land. But what that says to me is there's a fair amount of private landowners that are managing their woodlots, not necessarily just for wood supply, but for conservation values across the municipality. And again, you know, why is it so good in the municipality? I have to give compliment to the private landowners because it's only 10% of the municipality that is crown land. So in summary, again, this is me because I was involved in development. I think it's best-in-class policy or legislation across Canada. You know, some others might agree or some may not agree. The policy supports Nova Scotians' strong desire to conserve this rare ecosystem. Can't emphasize enough, we had maybe 200-300 written submissions for our policy. Doesn't sound like a lot, but it's a lot for government to get written submissions, not just, you know, a checkbox on a survey. So, and what we heard deeply was that people really care about their old growth forests. And so that is reflected in lots of sort of discussions and even impetus for the policy about, you know, the Loon Lake incidents and other campaigns. People cared deeply about their old forests and old growth forests. The policy will have some impact on forest management and land management decisions across the province. So the minister was aware of this when he signed off on it, Mr. Rustin, but believed that this was very important to support the review of forestry practices and an emphasis on biodiversity conservation. These are rare and uncommon ecosystems. Regardless of all those percentages, what's clear to me as a researcher, there's a lot less than there was, and there's not very much of what of the old growth that there is. And so the minister was still willing to make that effort. The policy does have a small clause that allows for a rare and exceptional circumstances that old growth areas can be removed from the policy, and those have to meet the test of public interest. Think like twinning of a highway, hospital, things like that, not another forestry road or harvesting. It's clearly outlined in the policy the types of things that can are suitable. I've listed our department website there where there's more information. There's a story map. I had some students from Dalhousie help me develop that. They're better in technology. I heard someone talking about their students at university. They're better at technology than that. It's a great way to find out information in a more user-friendly way about old growth forests. But there's also the policy. There's supporting data on there. We're open in sharing our data. And lastly, I'm the face of our group, but there's others there that help me do a lot of work.
Thank
I think that's
you
about the 10-minute range.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. Do we have, I believe, Councillor Moore, you have a question?
Yes. Thank you, Dr. Bush. I think maybe my deferring the motion from November 28th council meeting is what brought you here. The motion, there was a presentation to council, a good presentation on old growth forest, and then staff brought back a recommendation to the November 28th meeting that municipal council write a letter to the province minister responsible for natural resources and renewables, Tori Rushton, with copies to Premier Houston and local MLAs Becky Duham and Susan Corcoran-Greek, requesting expedited identification of all old-growth forest on Crown land in the municipality of the District of Lunenburg. And that was good. But I knew that being born in Lunenburg County, being raised in Lunenburg County and representing north of the 103, that forestry is a big part of the economy and a big staple of Lunenburg County, as it is all over Nova Scotia. So I wanted council to hear that there was already policies in place, a policy in place, whether or not it's the right one or it should be, but I want the council to know that there is something in place that looks at this and has rules. So thank you for your presentation.
Yeah, so if I can respond a little bit to that, mm-hmm. if it's okay. So part of ensuring that old growth forests are conserved, ones that we know and ones that we don't know, and that sometimes confuses things. What do you mean we don't know? For those that were around in the Gulf War, remember Rushton from, President Assistant used the term known knowns and known unknowns. It's information theory, actually. And we know what we know in terms of old growth, and those ones are protected. We know that there's more old growth out there, and how do we find it is through development. And so forest management or new road construction or other development, particularly wind farms in the last 2 years, are required to do old growth assessments where it's likely or possible to be old growth before that development can go ahead. So my staff and I train people to identify old growth forests, and they do that. And licensees have found, from a forest company perspective and from a wind farm perspective, have found old growth that have now been moved in, and then areas where they're interested in that development have moved to other areas that are not old growth.
Thank you very much. Mayor Bolivar-Gaston, you have a question?
Well, I have comments. I guess I'd like to start by saying I'm glad age is only a number. And the Leahy Report, I know that I worked with Dr. Leahy, and I can tell you that in environment and labor, and very wise man, when we designate an area as an old-growth forest, how do we weigh that against the practices of the need for fiber and timber in the area? And having said that, when I seen your one screen there, it was showing what trees were designated as old growth,
yep.
And some of the trees that you had on there were fir and so on.
Yep.
And anyone that works in the forestry sector at all knows that a fir tree doesn't have a long life expectancy. They rot out in the middle and they're done and blow down, and that's the end of that. So I understand the hemlock, the virgin timber in the province, and all the other stuff that goes along with a old-growth forest, but the managing practices that would go to sustain even an old-growth forest. It doesn't mean that it just stands forever and ever, or does it, and it just falls down as Mother Nature allows it to, because sometimes selective thinning is important to all woodlots.
Yeah, so very deep questions. Thanks. I'll do my best to answer as many of those as I can. So first, I can't help but jump into the balsam fir thing. So those are forest communities, not necessarily trees. And the balsam mm-hmm. fir type of stands only apply to Cape Breton Highlands. So
okay.
That's the only place that we consider balsam fir stands to be old growth. And there's
all
even
right.
still some discussion amongst our foresters whether that's really true. And one of those people that I showed, Emily Woodstra, was one of the women at the side. She did her master's at UNB studying old growth black spruce coastal. Yep. And her thesis found that, in fact, it is old growth. It's just happening earlier. It's still, and it's not big diameter, but it's still having the characteristics of old growth, meaning multi-age, multi-structured, and a fair amount of coarse woody debris, sort of dead material. And so this leads into your other sort of question, is that old growth forests do go through death and dying of portions of it, and it's called gap filling. So they create some gaps, and some die, and some generate up in those gaps. So we feel that the old growth forest policy is setting it aside for long term. Some of it may not meet that definition of old growth after a series of disturbances, wind, and so on. But the intention is to leave it in there. It's that it has what is called, sort of long term.
Ground body.
Yeah. So it's going to go through those changes. There were some other parts of your question I'm trying to remember now.
But even with selective thinning or whatever, nothing from that end. It's an untouched when it's designated as old growth.
Right. So if it's had forest management within the last 30 years, selection harvest or not, it doesn't automatically count as old growth. So that gets to that definition of relatively old and relatively undisturbed. Yes. We define relatively undisturbed as forest harvesting since 1990.
Yeah.
Right? And so there may be some stands in those restoration areas that have some recent disturbance or forest management. So we can add things that have had that into the policy protection. In terms of balancing, the minister made the choice that these are rare and uncommon, hence the change of the name. I emphasize their old growth. And so that if it meets those tough definitions, not harvested, 125 years old, then it's rare and uncommon. There might only be 3 or 4%. From those UBC numbers, what we see is about 3 or 4%. So that's the reality, is there's not much there. It's more like a species at risk than it is sort of a forest. But your point about managing forests, Leahy said to manage forests into later years to get higher quality products and to work more on a longer rotation period, which would mean more like 60, 80, 90 years, 100 years maybe, working in that time frame of rotation. For a lot of your municipalities, a lot of sugar maple, things like that, those products from a forestry perspective don't develop until a bit later. You can't go in and harvest a 40-year-old sugar maple and get good number out of it, right, for guitars or whatever.
No.
You can't. Right, and so even spruce takes some time to develop those products. So the idea of working in a very young age only is a very simplistic way to look at how forest management should be done for multiple projects across the jurisdiction. But the department is committed to these rare and uncommon old growth forests. I'm being repetitive because the minister is very strong on that. No old growth forests will be cut.
Do we have any other questions or comments for Dr. Bush? Councillor Haysom.
Thank you. I think it's a really interesting observation that more identification of old growth is happening because of development. And so you sort of touched on the idea that it is a market-based system, and I can imagine it's pretty difficult to do conservation work within a market-based area. But that just really stands out for me, that it's the development piece. So the more and more we push for that development, that is how we are, in fact, identifying more of our pristine places.
Yeah.
So that sits in a really weird way with me, but very interesting observation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's fair to say that both are happening. In part, I have to give my federal colleagues... just received, again, we probably do a terrible job at announcing all the things that we're doing. Government probably could do better. Both governments probably at times, or multiple governments, can do better at advertising all the good things they're doing. We received about $600,000 from Environment and Climate Change Canada to help on what you're saying, looking for old growth, non-development sort of related. And so I'm hiring some staff. Actually, I got a job posting out right now looking for, if you know anyone that's a recent graduate, looking for a field person to do old growth assessments non-related to sort of a wind farm. You know, a wind farm goes in, that's the company's responsibility to hire a professional consultant that's trained to do that. And forest companies have their own professions. And then we audit them, right? And so we audit them to make sure that they're doing a good job. But so that type of thing, with this federal funding, we hope to be doing more. And so what I heard from this motion, I think is a reasonable request, to be honest, that if more emphasis, your job is to represent your area, more emphasis on the provincial government to search in your area, it seems like a very reasonable request, right? And if there's counselors or individuals that know areas that are more likely to be old growth, so we do our best from up, you know, 10,000 feet looking down. I have some great GIS remote sensors working with me. But there's nothing that replaces local knowledge, right?
Bolivar Getson, you have a further comment or question?
Just in relation, so the municipality owns land as well that we have purchased for the enjoyment of our residents through establishing parks and so on. And some of our parks definitely have some old timber forest. I'll use Miller Point as an example of that. And trying to manage that park in relation to, I guess, there have been some trees taken down in that park for safety reasons and other things. Should they be designated?
Wow. That's a question.
I guess because it's not, there's trails through here, there's other things, and how does that balance happen when we're talking about that? We have 100 and some acres River Ridge Common, and different areas throughout the municipality where we have large portions of land, and what does that mean for the future use and the coexistence of old growth forests and people for recreational purposes?
So I wear many hats, like many of you, right? So I primarily, one of my research areas is old growth forests, but I'm also landscape ecologist and engage with our department and our sort of zoning the triad and zoning our conservation areas. And so although the old growth forest policy would not apply and there's not an opportunity right now to designate municipality land or private land under the policy, there is opportunities to engage with my colleagues at Nova Scotia Environment and look for opportunities to designate either as nature reserves or wilderness areas or what is called OECMs, other effective means of conservation. And those can count towards protection. But I want to be careful to not overstep my position here offering advice on the old growth forest policy, but there are conservation opportunities to be willing to designate your land to count towards 20%. And I can give you some contacts there about how that process, and maybe they've already approached you with suggestions there. But that can help with old forest conservation. To be clear, it's that if land is set aside on private land or other government land, then it's quite possible that old growth can be conserved. The federal government had, from eastern Nova Scotia, Louisburg Fortress. We had always thought that this had some good coastal old forest on it, and we counted it in our measures. No one else did. The protected areas didn't. But just in the last year, they counted it as an OECM. So what OECMs are there areas in which were set aside for reasons other than legal designation? So this is a historic park, so there's the fortress, but there's all this woodland behind it that's not being developed. There's no mine going in there. There's no forestry. There's no highway going through there. It's federal parkland, historic site. And so it's a good example of land was conserved, but wasn't really accounted for because it was, quote, historic property, right? And so municipal land, there's an opportunity for that to be considered. But if you want to know and understand your forests in there, I'd be willing to help and work with your staff on that. But there's not a place right now for measuring or accounting under the old growth policy. It only applies to Crown land.
Land like Kejimkujik National Park and some of these be the same designation?
No, the National Park, Kejimkujik counts towards our 20% okay. targets. Yeah.
And the Tobiatic yeah. and all the
other. The Tobiatic counts. I don't know the wilderness areas that I mentioned in here. There wasn't that many. And I don't know where the status of those are. There's 3,000 hectares. And if there's new planned ones. So mm-hmm. the government released a strategy just in December about how to achieve the 20% target. It includes working with municipalities, other governments, our Mi'kmaq partners, and stakeholders about identifying those lands. It's a shared responsibility. There's going to be some private land that needs to happen. There is only so much Crown land available and lots of pressure on Crown land for multiple types of development. But everything from housing to wind farms to forestry to mines, green hydrogen. So when to get to 20%, that might mean 50% of Crown land will be designated. That's how the percentages work.
Yeah.
Because to get to 20%, there's only 30-some-odd percent, 35% Crown land across the whole province.
And I guess that takes me back to one of my questions, and that was in relation to when this land comes out of circulation for the forestry sector, because a lot of that land that is Crown land has been used for the forestry sector over the years.
Yeah.
What will that mean?
Right.
And are there other forests being replaced, I guess? Are they putting other things in place for the forestry sector?
Yeah. So the solution is in the review of forestry practices, Leahy report, in that we conserve and set aside our most important biodiversity lands, old growth forests, best example for me, right? And we do intensive forest management on a small portion of Crown land. So that's what we call a high production forest. That 10% of Crown land is what the minister committed to in that. The number said we could go up to 13, but he said 10. On that 10%, you can get maybe two or three times as much volume of wood if you
manage it
well. You have selective tree growth and breeding. We have a tree breeding program. Mm-hmm. So you put all of those things together, you can make up for those conservation lands. And ideally, it's less roads and all those other sort of biodiversity impacts. So it was a recommendation of Leahy. We agree with that. Set aside the best conservation lands, small portion of the lands for high production, and then what we call the ecological matrix across the rest of Crown land, where biodiversity is given the first priority. So we still... there are more restoration forests, meaning no clear cuts, primarily.
And just for the council's knowledge, 50% of Crown land, in the province is what percentage now?
It's overall? About 35, 36. I don't have the number right in front of me. But
so the private sector still is, it's 65. But that's changed from 80-some over the course of the last...
Yeah, yeah. But water purchase, things like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Do we have any other comments or questions for Dr. Bush? Not seeing any. Thank you very much, Dr. Bush, for coming. I do want to comment myself that within my district, I do know that I've talked to different landowners, that private landowners, and they are very much into conserving their land and the old growth forest and the Acadian forest that they own on their property.
So I appreciate that and acknowledge that, and there's probably a better way that we could maybe recognize those efforts by private land. You know, both governments can think about ways to recognize the importance that those private land owners are having in our overall conservation efforts. Yeah, it's great to hear.
Anyway, thank you very much again for making the effort and coming this morning. We don't have any added items on our agenda. We have nothing in camera. And so I'm looking for an adjournment. Oh, wonderful. Thank you very much, Councillor Wynot. And do we have a seconder? I'm Councillor Haysom. All those in favor? Thank you very much, Councillor Greek. And we are adjourned. Thank you very much.